more than this. I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. Still to come on the program in about an hour from now, Scott Butcher from the Trustful Tribune, regular on this program. And then a friend of the show, Rob Holbert from Land Yap. That's in the 11 o'clock hour, so you want to make sure you stick around for that. Joining us now on the line, always good to get him on. He represents the 2nd Congressional District. Off to our east, Congressman Barry Moore on with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff, good morning. I am doing just fine, sir. Doing fine.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. Certainly do appreciate it. Let's kick it off here, Congressman. It's the month of August. You and I were talking a little bit off air about this, getting around the district, and that seems to be kind of the standard operating procedure at this level. But, it's recess, and it gives you a chance to get back in touch with your district.
Yeah, that's right, Jeff. Kind of, they call it all, recess in D.C. for us, in a sense that we're not there necessarily voting on bills or in session, but we call it the district work session as well, because we have, the month of August to kind of hit the road, hit the district, 15, 16, 17, 18 counties, however much your congressional district is. Get out, talk to people, update them on issues, a lot of legislative updates, farm bills coming up. Of course, my term on judiciary, the first year on judiciary. So a lot of things to talk about. So we're just out in the district updating, hearing from people as we get close to the farm bill and certainly closer to an election for president and a reelect for a lot of us. So a lot to talk about.
There you go. Well, what are you hearing out there, Congressman, when you talk to these folks?
Well, I think probably the same. Last August was a lot of the same thing. The weaponization of government was a concern last year when we learned a little bit about Twitter and how the government had kind of spied on the American citizens through the FBI process, the way that they had been playing. They'd almost seemed like they'd weaponized against conservative voices. And so now the attacks on Trump, with this, the things that are going on with the DOJ and these woke DAs that are going after a presidential nominee, which has never happened in the history of our country, where in the last 5 months he's been indicted 4 different times for a number of accounts. I've lost count of the counts he's been charged with. But that now seems to be front and center, the presidential race. Why are they going after a man, and why are they trying to pick our presidential nominee rather than letting the American people pick it? So it's a combination of all of the above, concern about weaponization of the government, concern about the future of the nation, and liberty under attack.
Well, and that's, here we are entering this presidential election cycle, and it sounds like there's a lot of Trump discussion. I mean, are you hearing about presidential politics? And, it seems like a different cycle, at least the very early stages do, than we've seen even the last couple.
Yeah, it seems to me that the Republican primary is not up for grabs. It seems like Trump's the logical nominee based on polling numbers we're seeing. And even every time it seems that we in judiciary or oversight, we come out with these revelations about Hunter Biden, it's the next day they charge Donald Trump with something. It's uncanny, the timing of the left on this sort of stuff. And so it's a different election cycle for sure. And President Trump, or every time we come after Hunter Biden, we reveal something, it seems like, and you've been following this, I'm sure, Jeff, it seems like they turn the laser on him and charge him with something else, with some other woke DA, whether it be in Georgia or Alvin Bragg in New York or wherever the case may be in upcoming cases. It seems like to me they punish him every time we look into Hunter Biden and his dad's dealings with different companies and foreign agents around the globe.
Well, and what, that's the other component of this is the congressional investigation. And what do you, the way James Comer's investigation has been going into a lot of this with the looking into DOJ and the FBI, you satisfied with the findings? It looks to me like this, Congressman, there's a lot out there and there's a lot of like wow stuff, but it just isn't getting traction. And maybe that's a product of the media we have to deal with. But I don't know what else you guys can do.
Well, I tell you the thing we have to do. We have to look at impeachment. I think that not necessarily I'm saying Joe Biden impeachment right this second, Jeff, that may be warranted down the road. But for us right now, just the border. I mean, we've done a good job on judiciary. Certainly oversight and Comer's done a great job. But Jim Jordan, as chairman of judiciary, we've opened up. I mean, we've had Mayorkas in. He will bald-faced lie to you and tell you the border's secure as 5 million people pull across. And the video just shows people after people coming into our country. And so I think we have to start looking at this administration and his cabinet-level secretaries and saying, okay, you need to be impeached. And certainly Merrick Garland recently turning loose Jack Smith on President Trump. That came straight from Biden's DOJ that now the attorney general has turned into this weaponization to stop a presidential nominee of the opposing party, the one leading in the polls, the likely nominee for the Republican ticket. And here it is. It's like they're weaponized. So we have to start. Even if we don't go after Joe Biden right now today, I think there are certainly people in his organization and within the branch, the executive branch, that impeachment is warranted. And I think the American people expect that, because you just said what's next? I mean, what's the next step? Man, the evidence is out there. And whether the media gives it traction or not, you can't argue with the Durham report. You can't argue with things that we're finding out with the SARS reports, the suspicious activity reports. You can't argue with the fact that the Bidens, when Joe Biden was vice president of the country, set up 20 shell corporations, millions of dollars flowed to the Biden family. And we, as of yet, do know what product they sold. We've not seen a single service they've sold. What was it that the Bidens were selling for millions of dollars to other people around the globe and family members getting checks deposited into these bank accounts? For what product are they selling? And so those are the things. American people are sort of tired of the hearings. I'm not saying we're going to stop the hearings. I think we've only been in power 8 months now. So don't forget, they're slow walking all this information. We're having to subpoena. We're having to get these transcribed interviews. We're having to do what we can. But the next step for our party, I believe, is impeachment. I think the American people expect that. We do not want them to lose hope in our ability to execute the plan and to fight fire with fire.
Well, tell me, the special counsel, the Weiss special counsel appointment, and I've talked to a bunch of your in-state colleagues here. What is that going to do to the overall investigation? I mean, does it interfere? Does it make it harder for House Republicans to find out more and more? Is it seen as more rather than at face value? It looks like, hey, it's the Biden DOJ finally trying to get to the bottom of this. But the actuality, it seems, is more of a defensive gesture from the Biden administration.
Yeah, it seems like they're trying to put up another roadblock to get to the bottom of what exactly Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and what they were doing and the dealings and the money that were deposited in these accounts. But regardless, the whistleblowers in the IRS, I think they've blown the lid off the whole thing. And one of them was a Democrat lifelong. And so we now know without question that there is some tax fraud within the Biden, certainly within his family. And also just these payments, again, what services were they selling? Regardless of the defense that, whether it's Weiss or what the administration, the DOJ, tries to put up, I think it's incumbent on us to keep digging, keep pushing. And like I said, impeachment seems the next logical step, certainly for the U.S. southern border. Mayorkas needs to go yesterday. And then we need to look at Merrick Garland. And even Christopher Wray with the FBI, I think Christopher Wray's kind of inherited some of this stuff from Comey. But I think we have to start pulling the veil back and saying, you guys are ultimately responsible for what you're doing within your – and even if they're not making the final decision, if it's coming from the White House – we still have opportunities there to hold them accountable. And I think that puts the administration on its heels. Rather than being weaponized against Donald Trump, we actually put them in a defensive position instead of an offensive position. I think that's great for the American people.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore here on the program. He's from 2nd Congressional District. I want to go talk a little bit about the next election. Obviously, the presidential election is at the top of the ticket, but I mean, you know, you guys are hanging on to this thin margin in the House, and then I have no idea what lies ahead for the Senate. But as far as the House goes, specifically the House Freedom Caucus, and it seems like you've got a growing group there, you know. And I know we still, as for you with redistricting and all that, is up in the air. But just as far as that caucus goes, what does the future look like? Do you get the sense, and it does seem like under McCarthy that you see a lot more House Freedom Caucus involvement than you had in the past, but do you get a sense that movement is sort of growing within the ranks?
Yeah, I do think, and I think it's interesting, Jeff, because if Kevin had the majority like we thought he was going to get, you know, they were talking about 30 or 40 seats, then the House Freedom Caucus, the conservatives within the conference itself, and certainly I'm a proud member of the House Freedom Caucus, we would not have had as big a voice. He wouldn't need the conservatives on board to move policy. And so Kevin really has been forced to negotiate with HFC, which, you know, like I know he's a California Republican. You've got a lot of moderates within our party, but the House Freedom Caucus, those of us who are truly conservative, I think, within the conference, have had an opportunity to have a say. We've had a place at the table on Rules Committee and on budgeting chairs. And so we're pulling the country back to more of a conservative policy going forward. And I asked Kevin the other night at dinner, we were up having a hearing with McCarthy and Jim Jordan in Alvin Bragg's district on judiciary. And it's been a few months ago, but I said, I'm polling higher than any speaker in recent history. I said, if you'll keep listening to us conservatives, that trend will continue, sir. And so he kind of laughed. But Kevin and I are friends. He knows I'm far more conservative than he is. But at the same time, I think the House Freedom Caucus has a very important role of pulling Kevin to the right and trying to do really what the vast majority of the American people would like to see us do. Rather than be a uniparty and go along to get along, sometimes you draw a line in the sand on budgets, on transgender surgeries, on travel for abortions, on 86,000 IRS agents, the things that we promised, I think the House Freedom Caucus can deliver on, because we have, there's such a thin majority, Kevin has to depend on us to get there, to get across the finish line.
Well, I tell you what else is just kind of an observation on my part, that even those that are the go-along, get-along types that don't typically really, you know, get out front on some of this, maybe this is just a product of who's in the White House and the natural role of being the party, the loyal opposition, if you will. But it seems like, generally speaking, the entire Republican caucus is pretty unified here.
Yeah, I think we're required to be unified to get the wins that we need. And to Kevin's credit, he's done a pretty good job. I mean, there's some times we had to pull down the rule on the debt ceiling. I mean, there were some tough votes that I had to make. And you know, I think it just to get his attention and say, hey, Kevin, listen, we promise the American people we've got to deliver on this. If we don't, what's the point? You can't tell the difference between a Republican and a Democrat. So I think it's very important that we continue to hold the line. And, yeah, I think in some ways, you know, Kevin is actually doing a good job, not necessarily always willingly, but sometimes he's kind of forced because of the thin majority. But we seem unified, and I think the speaker vote was part of that process. There was a lot of negotiations. We broke a 160-year history in electing that speaker with that many votes, but it forced him to negotiate, to put people on committees and in positions that actually have a true conservative view of what the direction of the country should be. And so, again, we are unified. I think there's some opportunities, and I don't think it's just because of Biden. I think the American people realize that this country's in big, big trouble, Jeff. And if we don't turn it now, I don't know what the future holds.
Well, and you know, I'm certainly you're going to see that here in Alabama with the election results. But you look around the country, and I don't know how much of what's your, especially you guys in Congress, you get internal polls and you see kind of the trend of the country. But, you know, just look at presidential polling and with everything that they've thrown at Donald Trump and what's going on there, he's still neck and neck with Joe Biden, who's a very lackluster president. But it tells me that, generally speaking, there's the opportunity there, even at the top of with the top of the ticket still in question, for Republicans to make gains in 2 years, or well, not 2 years, but a year and a half. And it just that I guess you don't really want to blow it. So impeachment or whatever you got to do, and that's sort of the playbook going forward. I mean, does it look like you need to keep your foot on the pedal here as it pertains to the Biden administration?
Yeah, for sure. I think we have to keep our foot on the gas. And not only that, I mean, yeah, at the top of the ticket, you know, Trump he's polling higher than he was when he won the thing in 2016. And so, or at least I think in recent history, his numbers are doing well. Like you said, every time they throw something at him, it seems to me that he goes up in polls. And so, and look, Jeff, I get that. I mean, people talk about time ago, but he's so divisive. Well, he's not really divisive in a sense. If you love unemployment and not start any foreign wars, and the great economy and the jobs and tax cuts, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. I mean, Trump did a good job. The media is constantly trying to divide this country and say Trump's horrible, Trump's horrible, Trump's horrible. But no matter who we put at the top of the ticket, they're going to be laser focused on destroying them. And we tried the McCains and the Romneys and it didn't work. And since Trump's been elected, 70% of the Republican conference are new people. And so it's a different direction the party's going. But let me say this. You remember when Herman Cain came out a few years ago and was running for president, Jeff, he was the thing the left feared so much, a black conservative who could be a presidential nominee. And then they started all this stuff about, oh, he had all these affairs. And Herman's wife finally stepped up and said, Herman, we can't do this. No matter who we put at the top of the ticket, they're going to attack him. And so Trump's been attacked. I think the American people see it now for what it is. It's weaponization. It's not really factual stuff, especially when you start rushing collusion and into impeachment. So I just encourage the people, don't let the media convince you that Trump's a divisive individual. Sure, he tweets some things I don't like, but I'm not hiring a pastor in chief, dude. I'm looking for somebody that can right this country and fight against the establishment and get us back on track. And I don't know that many people got the resources to pay for the attorneys to survive the attacks and the toughness that it takes to get through this process. And so he's our likely nominee, I think. And I'm not saying, look, I know all the other men in the race. I know Vivek Ramaswamy. I know Ron DeSantis. And I know Tim Scott. They're good people in some ways. But I think Trump's the only guy that can do the job right now.
Hey, Congressman, we're about out of time here. We always appreciate you coming on. And best of luck to you. And maybe next time we get you on, we'll have a better idea of what these congressional districts will look like. And we can talk more about that.
For sure, sure, Jeff. Thanks for your time, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Congressman Barry Moore of the 2nd Congressional District there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Getting caught and let us try.